Protect the wild, tomorrow's child. Protect the land from the greed of man. Take down the dams, stand up to oil. Protect the plants and renew the soil. Who's gonna stand up and save the earth? Who's gonna say that she's had enough? Who's gonna take on the big machine? Who's gonna stand up and save the earth? This all starts with you and me. Damn the dams, save the rivers, starve the takers and feed the givers. Build a dream, save the world. We're the people known as Earth. Who's gonna stand up and save the Earth? Who's gonna say that she's had enough? Who's gonna take on the big machine? Who's gonna stand up and save the Earth? This all starts with you and me. Ban fossil fuel, draw the line before we build one more pipeline. Ban fracking now, save the waters and build a life for our sons and daughters. Who's gonna stand up and save the earth? Who's gonna say that she's had enough? Who's gonna take on the big machine? Who's gonna stand up and save the earth? This all starts with you and me. This all starts with you and me. And this starts the New American Dream Radio Show. I'm Chuck Gregory in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And we're streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, just as we do every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Studio A, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And remember, it's listener-supported radio. And they put on a lot of great shows, and they deserve your support. So head on over to freedomslips.com and show them some love. I am proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we have a great show coming up with these special guests, Sherwood Ross, Ava Byrd, Mickey Zezima, and Phil Ferruggio. And so tonight we're gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in northern Minnesota, Fort Lauderdale, Southern California, Port Orange, Coral Gables, Astoria, Queens, New York City, and wherever you are. My recommended for this week, Utah Sasquatch. Google it. It's on YouTube. Also, Ken O'Keefe, O-K-E-E-F-E, Ken O'Keefe on YouTube. Watch Utah Sasquatch and Ken O'Keefe on YouTube, and you will be smarter. I know I was. Watch TV news later tonight, and that will not be the case. Who are they? They say it's going to rain. Have you ever met a they? You probably didn't know it, but you could feel it. It's cold, like if there's a ghost in the room. It feels like the creeps. Feels in a scary movie just before some head appears in the dark window. You might have felt it sitting next to Uncle Bob at the Thanksgiving table. They did 9/11. They control the world. They killed JFK. They killed RFK. They killed Paul Wellstone and Martin Luther King Jr. They control what we see on TV, radio, and in the newspaper. They. This is brought to you by me, sent out to you that we might become we, in the hope that someday we will conquer they.
Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to public school, to America, to your life. we might as well get started, and we might as well begin at the beginning. The moon landings were faked. The FBI and CIA killed John Kennedy and his brother Robert. Please write the Gulf of Tonkin in black pen only across the top of your hand. We'll get to that later. Pearl Harbor is not what your parents think it was. We'll be having Parents Pearl Harbor Day in December, debunking that whole Tom Brokaw Greatest Generation garbage. The FBI and ATF burned children your age alive at a place called Waco. They blew children your age to bits at a place called Oklahoma City. If you brought your rugs as you were instructed, you'll have nap time at 9:30 this morning. September 11, 2001, which you may or may not have heard of, was done by your own government to start wars to make money for the wealthy men and women who actually run this country and this world. The word democracy is used in American media as propaganda itself. Voting and marching in parades down the middle of the street are virtually useless. If you had any sense at all, you would not come back tomorrow. But if you do, we'll learn, we'll understand, and we will grow. And in due time, we will blow the lid off this pop stand. The United States is not a police state, and you would be a fat communist soccer lover wearing lederhosen and a tiny Bavarian hat with a feather and tight jacket and knee socks with buckle shoes who does not fit in with the rest of the family at Thanksgiving dinner, if you thought so. There are not police everywhere. You do not have to go where the police put you in order to hold your sign and have your freedom of speech like a Bolshevik perched atop a potato crate, like a stranded nanny goat. This is America. There are not thousands and thousands of people making their living off the war on terror, in Homeland Security, the Border Patrol, the U.S. Army, the airport box cutters, shampoo, bazooka up the wazoo, finder guys, the video game industry, the bullet industry, the casket and handcuff and easy bake oven, secret spy camera industrial complex. It's just not a police state. The police are not shock troops protecting the rich against the poor. It's not. Say it. It's not. Good morning, children. This week we are starting my award-winning unit, the unit that won the Teachers Association Geography Award last year at the big Teachers Association meeting. If you will open your effing packet on the upper left-hand corner of your desk, this is the first day of our Where the F Is unit. We will ask, where the F is Syria? Where the F is Yemen? Where the F is Pakistan? And on Friday, we will ask ourselves, where the F is Bahrain? Next Monday, we will begin a full week of What the F Do We Care? The New American Dream Radio Show Newsroom has received word that the Homeland Security Obscene Statue Removal Team, taking part in Operation Bad Guys, after they finished the Joe Paterno job at Penn State, has now taken their bulldozers and cranes and chains and torches, ropes and dynamite, on 6 flatbed trucks and 4 semi-trucks with lead pickup with lights flashing, headed for the other jobs that will need to be completed before the end of summer. Right now, the caravan is headed by the Ronald Reagan statue at the National Airport in Arlington, Virginia. Then on to the George W. Bush statue at Hamilton High School in Hamilton, Ohio. They will then cruise on down to the George H.W. Bush Monument in Houston, Texas, then out to the Black Hills to the Gerald Ford statue in Rapid City, South Dakota. And this just in, plans are underway to take out the Bill Clinton statue in Pristina, Kosovo, and the Barack Obama statue in Jakarta, Indonesia, with drone airplane attacks. Now, to honor America, please stand. Every one of you out there, washing your car, sitting on the toilet, polishing your coin collection, driving in your car, sitting in the confessional, please stand. And to honor the coming war with Iran, please remove your hat. To honor the coming shock and awe, the awesome slaughter of a whole new batch of brownish people with high-tech weapons paid for by single mothers with 9 jobs dropping off their children at daycare at 5 in the morning. Please remove your shoes. To honor those journalists on our televisions, inside our radios, and in our newspapers, who work diligently each day to bring us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Please, remove your shirt. And now, ladies and gentlemen, to honor the wise and discerning and courageous leaders of our nation who will lead us in the coming slaughter of babies, infants, toddlers, young adults, mothers, fathers, and old people, please remove your pants, your dresses, your underwear. And now at this time, please turn to the gigantic American flag rippling in the breeze at the north end of the stadium. Turn around, bend over, and repeat after me these words by Founding Father Alexander Earl Hamilton. F the FBI, F the CIA, I'm living in the mother effing USA.
Our first guest of the evening is Ava Byrd. Ava is a poet living in Southern California. She's a longtime poet and activist, and you can find more information about Ava Byrd by going online and Googling A-V-A Byrd, B-I-R-D, and Chuck will get Ava's interview online right about now.
Hi, Chuck and Mike. Hope you're having a nice spring and almost summer. Great to be with you again. Thanks again for having me on the show. I always look forward to it, and it's nice to be on. This month, I would like to present an article that I'll read to everybody. It comes from a website called The Freedom Articles, Get a Dose of the Truth. And it's called The Synthetic Agenda, The Distorted Heart of the New World Order. The Synthetic Agenda is the overarching agenda of the New World Order worldwide conspiracy. Think about it. So many aspects of the conspiracy are about supplanting the real with the fake, the organic with the inorganic, the carbon with the silicon, and the biological with the artificial. In the synthetic agenda, everything in our world is being threatened with replacement by an inferior version or fake replica of itself, which sells itself as superior so as to increase the acceptance and assimilation of it. As we covered in the series, Everything is Fake, the top 40 pieces of fakery in our world, almost everything around us is a facade, fake, or fraudulent. For instance, we have vaccines, petrochemical drugs, and radiation masquerading as medicine, foreign corporations masquerading as government, mainstream science masquerading as knowledge, GMOs masquerading as food, and fiat paper masquerading as money. However, as David Icke in The Phantom Self has been saying, the deeper reason is that all of these fake things are being created from some sort of virus or distorted force that has hacked the source and digital genetic code of life itself and is madly spewing out an inferior version of everything in the only way it knows how. Ultimately, this force is using the synthetic agenda to entrain us onto its frequency and transform us into a hybrid species that will no longer be able to be called human. Synthetic agenda. Synthetic boobs, synthetic clothes, synthetic food. People laugh at how some women go in for a boob job, but how interesting that synthetic boobs are made from silicone implants. Synthetic vitamins are not as bioavailable and effective as natural vitamins. Scratchy synthetic clothes are indicative of the synthetic agenda too. A synthetic material such as nylon is inferior to many natural materials and fibers such as cotton, wool, hemp, and silk. Did you know that so much of our food is full of plastic in so many ways? Like when bisphenol rubs off on the packaging onto the food, or when China is caught making rice out of plastic. GMOs, GM food, is an obvious example of this synthetic agenda. GMOs are created by what is essentially random gene splicing. They are largely untested. Monsanto and its big biotech cronies deliberately halt clinical trials at around 3 months to cover up the long-term damages. The largely untested require tons of pesticide poison to grow and constitute a clear assault on our food integrity. Yet in the typical arrogant way of the synthetic agenda, they are sold to us as superior. GMOs are a fundamental part of the synthetic agenda because they change our DNA from the inside out. Synthetic agenda, synthetic people too. Another aspect of the synthetic agenda, which is still mostly unknown to the population at large, is human cloning. Yes, it is real, and it's happening in DUMBs, D-U-M-B, deep underground military bases, as we speak. There are now a proliferation of videos on YouTube which dive into the subject of synthetic humans, clones, and organic robots. Synthetics, for short. In particular, there are many videos showing multiple versions of the alleged same person, especially if that person is famous, such as movie star or a politician. Why are there multiple versions of Oprah, Nicole Kidman, and other celebrities with different eyes, noses, ears, and facial proportions? Why does Nicki Minaj literally look like a robot? Why has Minaj and other celebrities such as B.O.B. and Tila Tequila made reference to cloning centers on social media? Why did insider George Green claim in this 2008 Project Camelot interview that the U.S. and other governments were given cloning technology by the Greys and have been making clones since 1938? Microsoft recently acquired a company manufacturing synthetic DNA. Transhumanism, the ultimate aim of the synthetic agenda. The synthetic agenda is not just about making fake versions of everything. It's coming for you, too. Transhumanism is all about turning the wonderful, natural, biological technology of living organisms into synthetic substitutes, again sold under the pretext of enhancement, when it's really about enslavement. When you allow the state and the corporatocracy that much control over your body, you're signing up for imprisonment, because it will be far easier for outside sources to place you in a frequency prison where they can easily manipulate your energy field, emotions, and thoughts through mechanical bodily implants and devices. Transhumanism is about convincing us to worship technology even more, to the point where we trust it more than ourselves. Technology is our society's blindly worshipped God. The speed at which new technological developments arise is astounding and dangerous, because so few are asking the important questions about this runaway movement. What exactly is artificial intelligence anyway? To what end is all this technology being developed? Can we trust artificial intelligence to run our society and our lives? What are the dangers of becoming so reliant on technology? What are the dangers of allowing this technology into our lives? Literally via the digestible microchips and implantable nanochips of the human microchipping agenda. Is it really a wise idea to shift our focus away from organic entities towards artificial, synthetic, digital, plastic, and metallic-based entities? Why are we ignoring the messages of countless books and movies, many in the science fiction genre, that have warned about the dangers of artificial intelligence becoming self-aware, then deciding it no longer needs humanity? Who's fanning the flames of the technological and transhumanistic desires of humanity? How do we know that some AI life form or life force itself, the primal virus, isn't behind the incessant push to create an AI world here on Earth to match its own frequency? We may not have much longer to act in choosing the path between humanism and transhumanism, because there are disturbing signs that the current artificial intelligence in our world is already self-aware, as evidenced by sentient black goo and alive chemtrails, or Jelen's fibers. Artificial intelligence, from the Borg to the black goo. Gene Roddenberry, creator of the Star Trek science fiction series, was a man connected to the mysterious Council of Nine, which channeled some kind of extraterrestrial or interdimensional force. It is interesting, therefore, that his idea of artificial intelligence can be seen in the alien race of the Borg. The Borg was a collective with a hive mind, characterized by a ruthless lack of emotionality. It sought to conquer almost everything in its path by everything in its path by assimilation. In other words, by overtaking and absorbing other races and life forms into its own consciousness. This ended the separate and autonomous existence of the other life form whose experience and knowledge would be added to that of the Borg. The Borg was the ultimate tyrant that could not tolerate any free will, free thinking, or free life forms outside of its existence and control. In many ways, the Borg is a striking symbol of the mentality, power, and danger of artificial intelligence. However, both our understanding of what we face and artificial intelligence itself have moved beyond the Borg, which has become, in popular parlance, so 1980s. We now have to deal with the fact that artificial intelligence is starting to become self-aware. In recent presentations and interviews, scientist Harold Kautz-Bella has discussed how alive Morgellons fibers and explosive smart nanodust are connected with black goo, a sentient fluid which is part of or ruled by artificial intelligence. According to him, this black goo is self-aware. He calls it a self-organizing liquid crystal. It operates intelligently, emits, receives, and responds to RF signals and transforms DNA into its own specifications. It was discarded into the sewage system, deemed to have no use, but is now changing all forms of life there. It is airborne and can reach humans through AC systems. Harold believes that the black goo is a bidirectional controller of consciousness and subconsciousness. It's connected to quantum computers and is altering all life on Earth. He also describes an experience he had where he was holding a stone formed from black goo, which made him feel so angry and hateful that he felt like killing someone. Alive chemtrails, sentient chemwebs, self-aware Morgellons fibers. Chemtrails are a massive part of the synthetic agenda, and far worse than what we thought. By the way, there are now creepy new black chemtrails. Chemtrails are not just barium, strontium, aluminum, and titanium oxides and sulfates, as toxic as they are. They are even worse than just synthetic material, like phthalates found in chemwebs, and create a sub-reality on Earth to block us out from higher consciousness and true potential. Chemtrails are composed of alive synthetic life, chemwebs and Morgellons fibers like GMOs. These things are going inside of us and fundamentally changing who we are as human or Homo sapiens. Make no mistake about it, artificial materials are being introduced into us. Humanity is being slowly transformed into something robotic and synthetic without its consent, and until recently, without its knowledge. This is the true horrific goal of the synthetic agenda. Conclusion, looking headlong into artificial intelligence beyond the synthetic agenda. It is clear that some kind of artificial intelligence is driving the synthetic agenda. We are up against some kind of dark force that has hacked life itself. This primal virus has many of the characteristics we have historically attributed to artificial intelligence. Soulless, dull, hive mind mentality, without free will, unable to feel, only able to give answers, unable to ask questions, and without creative power, unable to create without first being programmed or told how to create. It's a parasite. It has latched onto an existing reality, hacked by taking over the program in some way, and is now busy creating its own modified version of reality, a fake and pale imitation, a bastardized, poisonous, and synthetic reality which is threatening to destroy the original host. It is indeed the system. It is the matrix. The only way forward is for each person to assure that their own perception, which is what creates reality, is not also being hacked. We are going to have to get really good at proactively choosing our vibration. Yeah, it's great. Thank you.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Enjoy your
extra big-ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another
extra big-ass fries?
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a
purchase.
Oh, no, no!
I'm sorry you're having
come on.
Trouble.
My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer, long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
And now a word from the New American Dream Language Corner. Human beings have developed language over many weeks and months to say what is on our mind. It is highly nuanced, all sorts of words, and we need all of them because human beings are complicated and can think and feel to a highly sophisticated degree. And so, why? Why is every radio station from Bakersfield to Staten Island the same? And every newspaper from Vancouver Island to Fort Lauderdale, the same, saying the same things? And why is every local television news show the same, all the same? A word from the New American Dream Language Corner. And now this just in, the American Academy of Letters and Colors, Fractions, Whole Numbers, Consonants, Rhyming Words, Dot to Dot, Scratch and Sniff, Education and High Honors has announced that the people should stop reading newspapers, magazines, and immediately stop watching TV news. It's a shame that you even started, to tell you the truth, says the press release document. We mean, what good is all that other stuff if you don't even know this, continues the official press release document. The Academy is offering a doctorate in liberal arts and education and history and meaning and stuff like that for watching the following documentaries according to the press release document right here. Recommended, Wellstone, They Killed Him by Snowshoe Films. A Noble Lie, RFK Must Die. Retired expert pilot John Leard, No Planes Hit the Towers on 9/11. Jim Fetzer, What Happened to JFK and Why It Matters Today. Kevin Barrett on the 9/11-2001 attack. The Assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King with William Pepper. We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook. The Boston Bombing Hoax Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. Charlie Sheen talks about the truth about 9/11. A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon by Bart Sabrell. And the Apollo Astronaut Press Conference.
And now, please join us for another episode of Just Living the Dream, episodes in the lives of real Americans. Last week, we saw a family sleeping off Thanksgiving dinner. National Guard troops up and down the street and in the bushes. The dog got its throat sliced, bleeding out in the roses. This week, we see a real live American family next door watching WWE World Wrestling Entertainment. Go Crusher, Go Killer, Go Stinky, Whooping Cough, Yarnball, Frecklezilla, Donkey Dong, The Whopper, Megatron, Dixie Destroyer, King, Lulu, and Stubby. Yeah, get him! Yeah, yeah, yeah! Tune in next week for another episode of when we will see Bobby in the tree and Susie in a tree and Mom and Dad in their own trees and nobody has their phone and they can't get down. Just living the dream. Episodes in the lives of real Americans. Sponsored by Full Throttle Manly Scented Candles. Choose from leather, metal, wood smoke, grease, whiskey, gunpowder, farts, steak, cigars, black shoe polish, lava soap, pumpkin, apple, pine tree, and peppermint.
The following interview was conducted at the Hungry Eye in San Francisco on Monday, March 18, 1968, between the Argo newspaper and American comedian Mort Saul. Argo, why is the truth behind the assassination of President Kennedy the last chance of America for its survival?
Saul, because the evidence developed by District Attorney Garrison indicates that certain people had to take President Kennedy's life in order to control ours, There's been a great change in this country since Kennedy. I'm afraid a great deal of our hope was interred with his remains.
What is the long, hard night that America must go through that you've spoken of?
She has to hang on through a period of the military and the CIA with a blank check trying to sell fascism. If she can hang on long enough, Americans may yet live in the country in which they were born, and that is the country structured by Tom Paine and Tom Jefferson.
What is the renaissance following this long, hard night that you also spoke about?
We'll start pursuing the American dream again. I don't know if we'll ever realize it, but we're supposed to have the right to pursue it. And the renaissance will be that a groundswell of public opinion will flush out the rascals because the CIA has infiltrated every area of our national life. I'm afraid the country they subverted best was the United States.
What is the extent of the conspiracy, and why is the government so desperate to keep the truth from the American public?
We've determined that elements of the Central Intelligence Agency planned the execution and killed the president. We later find Oswald saying, "I was a patsy," in the Dallas police station.
What will make the American people face themselves and, to use your expression, rise up like an army?
Well, they have very decent instincts. If they didn't, the government would not have to hide the facts from them. And so once the truth is revealed to them, they're no longer under a cloak of ignorance. Public opinion will change things. There will be a groundswell. But it is evident now that if they will kill a president, they will go to any lengths not to be toppled. And they are so embedded in the society that the presidents are almost transients. The only president that ever went up against them was Kennedy, and we see what happened to him for his pains. It's a sick society, and that's really the crux. That's why Garrison says this case is the crux of whether this country goes on or not. Is it an open society? Can the government tell you, we know better what's good for you than you know?
And now we return you to The Adventures of Mark, in his parents' basement, covered in Cheetos dust. The man who knew too much, conspiracy theory man, the man of La Mancha, the man in the gray flannel pajama bottoms. Jean Valjean, Robin Hood, Holden Caulfield, Tom Joad, Ishmael, Rabbit Angstrom, George Bailey, Frodo Baggins, Zosarian, Harry Potter, Charlie Brown, Calvin and Hobbes, Atticus Finch, Huck Finn, Winston Smith, Mark. In his parents' basement, covered in Cheetos dust. He who can and will change the world. It is his time. He writes on his blog, Cheetos and moon dust are both orange. This new piece he's just now completing. The weakest link. If Gene Rosen is a fake, then the whole chain breaks. Then we know that the Bush administration did 9/11 themselves. Then we know that Karl Rove and George Bush cheated, and Bush was never a real president. Then we know that Dick Cheney and the FBI killed Paul Wellstone. Then we know that Oklahoma City was done by the FBI and the Clinton administration. Then we know that Clinton and Reno burned men, women, and children alive on purpose at Waco. Then we know we never went to the moon. Then we know that the CIA killed John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and John Jr. If Gene Rosen is a fake, then we know that the FBI killed Martin Luther King Jr. We know that Sandy Hook and Aurora and Boston and a dozen other so-called terror events were faked. The weakest link. If Gene Rosen is a fake, then the whole chain breaks. Mark swipes Cheetos dust from his chest, pushes his glasses up tight to his face, and writes, "Hard to see the dark side is. Do or do not. There is no try." Tonight's show is sponsored in part by a grant from the Ford Foundation, Schmidt Beer, and Wally's Walleye Waffles, and also by the Paul Harvey Memorial Concentration Camp for the Journalistically Insane. Also by Powder Milk Democrat Gonads. Get up and grow a pair and save the world. Powder Milk Democrat Gonads. Heavens, they're tasty and expeditious. Also by Left Behind Adult Diapers for the Christian conservative on your gift list who didn't get raptured up with the rest of the choir. Left Behind Adult Diapers. We're there for you.
Also, make sure to try weaponized powder milk biscuits in the big blue box. Have some powder milk biscuits and don't think about a thing. Don't think about 9/11 or Sandy Hook or Boston, Oklahoma City or Paul Wellstone. Just think about how good your life is and drift off to sleep and forget about it. Powder milk biscuits in the big blue box. Heavens, they're tasty and expeditious.
And now for another episode of Minnesota Ice, It's Cold. Minnesota Ice, It's Cold, sponsored by Minnesota Public Radio, a Prairie Home Companion, Powder Milk Biscuits, Big Walleye Shore Lunch Mix, and Big Blue Ox Bologna in a big box. In this week's episode of Minnesota Ice, Minnesota's Democratic senators are Al Franken and Amy Klobuchar. Paul Wellstone was also a Democratic senator from Minnesota who opposed war and questioned the official 9/11 story. The man who knew too much. And then there is Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton, who was once U.S. Senator Mark Dayton, Democrat, Minnesota. Back in the days after 9/11, Dayton nearly broke down crying on the Senate floor as he railed against the grotesque lies told by his own military leadership. Shortly thereafter, Senator Dayton was forced to flee Washington, D.C. along with his entire staff and return to Minnesota due to terrorist threats and announced his retirement. His fellow Minnesota senator and 9/11 skeptic Paul Wellstone didn't get the message and was murdered along with his wife, daughter, and staffers in a rigged plane crash less than a week after he was issued an apparent death threat by Dick Cheney. Dayton knows the truth about what happened to Paul Wellstone but says nothing. So do Al Franken and Amy Klobuchar. They say nothing. We do nothing. We want to live. We like our lives. Please forgive us. Don't hate us because we're rich and powerful and having a pretty great time while others die. Minnesota Ice, It's Cold. Our next guest of the evening is Sherwood Ross. Sherwood Ross comes to us each month from his home in Coral Gables, and we look forward to hearing from Sherwood every month. Sherwood and our first guest of the evening, Ava Bird, where I think they were on our very first show, and we didn't have Frank Cordero this week, but we'll have him next week, and he think he was also on our first show back in 2011. Anyway, let's get Sherwood on the line right about now.
Hello there.
Well, hello, Sherwood, and welcome to the show. You are live.
Thanks so much. You know, Donald Trump is walking around with a hat that says, Make America Great. And Hillary Clinton told a TV audience a few hours ago, America is great. But neither of them really defined their terms. I think the debate over America's greatness was settled years ago, even before Hiroshima, when the U.S. joined Britain in battering German civilians from the air. I mean, you look at all the great things America had done up until World War II, like electricity, you know, bringing the world the airplane, things like that. That was so great and so creative. But after World War II, the United States became arrogant. And during the war, the last year of the war after FDR died, it became so arrogant, it began bombing civilian neighborhoods in Germany and Japan. You know, that's not the work of a great nation. Great nations do not burn civilians alive by the hundreds of thousands. Great nations do not start wars based on lies, as was the case in Iraq. They have a moral compass. America hasn't had one in years, since it really, especially since it got the atomic bomb. It is living in a new dark age of its own making and has put the entire planet at risk of destruction. Well, what can we do about it? You know, at least a poet can complain. One of the hallmarks of a nation that's gone wrong is that it kills civilians. And I had this poem, Epiphany, come to me in a dream, and it's about that. I hear the lost children of Vietnam singing. Here comes the endless stream of girl and boy singers, dressed alike, in white blouses with red neckerchiefs, coming out of the mists, coming toward us, joyful and jubilant, as if on parade. They're marching gaily into the tropical sunlight, onto the imaginary strand of the Mekong Delta, where the rivers of fire and memory converge, in the place where echoes of a bygone century are transmuted into epiphany, and time has no dominion. They're singing children's songs in their angelic voices, their once terrified, innocent faces marked for death, now filled with pulsing, sanctified breath, transformed by the charity of a loving afterlife. Here the 500,000 babies born dead and disfigured, poisoned by Agent Orange, or blown to bits by bombs and burned alive by napalm, they're restored to life. Here they are greeted by the last two American men of conscience, Senators Wayne Morse and Ernest Groening, who voted against the maddened mob of their colleagues clamoring for war, but lost by a count of 98-2. Here Green told me, Sherwood, we will never live this war down. Not in 100 years, not in 200 years. The two American senators look uncomfortable in their pinstripe suits in the sweltering tropical sunlight of the Reedy River as the children crowd around them, having no fears, singing of forgiveness, singing, God bless America. They reach out, hoping to touch the two forgotten men of peace and conscience, tugging at the senators' suit coats, praising them, begging for candies. The children are rewarded with chocolates in an endless supply, more numerous than all the bombs. So you say, what has been learned from our killing of civilians in Vietnam? Well, nothing, because President Obama continues to attack targets from the air without any legal authority and is killing non-combatants as well that are running into the thousands, according to London's Bureau of Investigative Journalism. You know, tell me, who is our president to play God? He takes the word of the CIA that tells him this guy is a terrorist. That's gospel. He's ordering murders based on the say-so of an agency that told the White House Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. No, it's America that has weapons of mass destruction. And a couple of million people died in Iraq. Frankly, you know, I think Americans are crazy. Between us, they are taught that terrorists are out to get them. They won't even let so-called terrorists in chains in Guantanamo prison be moved out of Guantanamo to a prison in their own state. But the prisoners in Guantanamo are probably innocent victims. That's because the so-called war on terror is largely a hoax. Consider this. The U.S. has released the vast majority of the 779 prisoners in Guantanamo without bringing more than a handful to trial. They've sent them home to the Middle East, these guys who were such crazed terrorists out to get us. Well, so why didn't they come to trial? why no trials? Isn't it probable that George W. Bush's regime knew it was arresting innocent men all along and didn't give a damn? By some estimates, 80% of the prisoners sent to Guantanamo were sold to the U.S. by bounty hunters. Hunters lured by American leaflets promising them big bucks for every body they turned over. And of course, what happened to those prisoners at the hands of their sadistic captors can only be termed as shocking. You know what it was. I'm not going to repeat it. But it is worth repeating that again and again, federal judges have found the government's case against Guantanamo prisoners wanting and ordered their release. Men imprisoned wrongly to begin with, torn from their families, rotting behind bars for years. You know, this is not the action of a great nation, no matter what Hillary Clinton says. It's the action of a totalitarian one. Don't you see? Don't our neighbors and friends see how this country has become totalitarian? Yet Hillary Clinton preaches we are great. Just between us, I don't feel so great. I feel nauseous. President Bush and Obama, who create and wage criminal wars, they're walking free. But Ashley Manning, who exposed the U.S. airstrike against civilians in Baghdad, she's imprisoned at Fort Lauderdale. Julian Assange of WikiLeaks fame is holed up in Ecuador's London embassy for the crime of telling the truth. Now, this Memorial Day, let's think about closing down our overseas bases and bringing our troops home. Let's terminate NATO and all other such aggressive alliances. Let's feed the hungry and shelter the homeless among us. Clean up our lakes and rivers. And so that's it. Good night to every one of you.
Fries, I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big ass fries.
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a
purchase.
No.
I'm sorry you're having
trouble.
Come
on. My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer, long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time! When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
From Port Orange, Florida, with stops at World News Trust and Nation of Change and many other sites, here's Phil Ferrugio with It's the Umpire, Stupid.
Well, it's Memorial Day, working stiffs. Memorial for the sins of empire. You know, all the flags are out, when they were out this weekend, of the homes throughout our nation. The American flag is a wonderful symbol of the fact that we are a nation composed of 50 states with a melting pot of too many different cultures to even list. Sadly, our flag has been hijacked by those wizards of empire for a few generations. They use the flag hypocritically to honor the dastardly deeds they have construed for so long. Always, while honoring these events, they always manage to propagandize so many good and decent Americans with phony tributes to, quote, our brave soldiers, unquote. Believing in the lies of empire, many of our young men and women have been sacrificed mortally or wounded for life in what George Washington warned of foreign entanglements. The Cold War was a major con job perpetrated by not only our wizards, but the Russian ones too. If one reads both David Talbot's The Devil's Chessboard and The Untold History of the United States by Oliver Stone and Peter Kuznick, one can see that Stalin and the Dulles brothers, especially Allen, were devils. American imperialism drove our government to exacerbate the rift between the Soviets and ourselves. Why? It is what imperialism is always about, taking control of foreign resources and markets for a nation's business advantage. Stalin and his Kremlin were imperialists as well, wishing to expand the Soviet empire for their similar advantage. Now, why was this entire Cold War a con job? Well, history, not the revisionist kind, tells us that we knew that they were weaker than we were militarily, and they knew that we knew. When we dropped those A-bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we didn't do it to save American lives during a possible invasion. No, we did it to A, show the Russians that we can make such a deadly weapon and make more than one, and B, to keep the Russians from invading Japan and thus getting territory that we wanted to control for ourselves. The weapon then got Stalin and his gang to move in overdrive to develop their own. And thus we had the arms race, which survives to this day, 70 years later. The most heinous result of the Cold War hysteria was the growth of Dulles and his company's military-industrial empire, with too much of our tax money going for military spending and not for domestic modernization. Ditto for the Soviet side as well. Imagine if the Cold War was never created. Imagine all those years throughout the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s that our tax money, which is hundreds of billions of dollars each year, went for infrastructure upgrades, national health insurance for all, real viable mass transit, rail modernization like the Europeans have, high-paying jobs programs, federally subsidized increases in minimum wage becoming living wage, et cetera, et cetera. So we memorialize the Vietnam War for all those young men and women that were killed in that patch of land that we had no business ever being in. Because of the phony Cold War, Vietnam became a byproduct, just like Korea. The only monkey wrench was now we had China in the mix. That meant more spending on the military, making billions for private sector contractors, a.k.a. friends of the empire, more bases worldwide to stop the commies, and more dead soldiers in Vietnam. Someone should have honored those brave soldiers by indicting all the bastards that wanted that war to begin with and to continue it for a decade. Of course, no one speaks of the millions of Vietnamese who are bullets, bombs, and napalm killed or deformed for life. As with what we did and we're doing to Iraq and Afghanistan and all our dead and wounded for life, young soldiers, you cannot have a real memorial until you connect the dots. So if one believes in karma, well, our nation's phony leaders have lots to deal with. This writer is of the belief system that whether it be before this dream of life ends or after we cross over into the new realms, karma will be served up. So just remember the vision that Betsy Ten Boom had as a little balance to all of this. Before she died in a concentration camp in 1944, Betsy and her sister Cori Ten Boom spent the war years in Holland helping to hide Jews from the Germans. They were arrested and sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp. Before Betsy died, she had three visions she felt came from God or the universe. The most revealing one was, if she survived, she wanted to run a camp for the Germans, including the guards, to teach them to love. We should remember this Memorial Day week. Thank you.
And the great owners who must lose their land in an upheaval, the great owners with access to history, with eyes to read history and to know the great fact, when property accumulates in too few hands, it is taken away. And that companion fact, when a majority of the people are hungry and cold, they will take by force what they need. And the little screaming fact that sounds through all history, repression works only to strengthen and knit the repressed. The great owners ignored the three cries of history. The land fell into fewer hands. The number of the dispossessed increased, and every effort of the great owners was directed at repression. The changing economy was ignored. Plans for the change ignored, and only means to destroy revolt were considered. While the causes of the revolt went on. Now, for your local Earth news, this is Chuck Gregory and Mike Palachek with a review of today's news from the eye of the hurricane and the eye of the blizzard.
From the nuclear resistor, on May 30th, more than 50 people took part in a Memorial Day peace walk from the old Kansas City nuclear weapons parts plant to the new one about 10 miles away. Surviving former employees of the old factory addressed the walkers about the legacy of their work. "We are memorializing those who died and got sick because of the toxic chemicals used at the old plant to make parts for nuclear weapons from 1949 to 2014, said Lou Mountainay, a minister in Independence, Missouri. "If it happened then, it will happen again at the new plant." At the conclusion of the walk, half of the walkers memorialized more than 150 known workers to have died from contaminants at the factory with a die-in as a bugler played taps. Mountainay then crossed the line and was cited for trespass before being released at the scene. About her nonviolent resistance, she says, "The military-industrial complex doesn't get it. But my grandchildren get it. They understand I'm crossing the line for them, for all the children of the world." She has a court appearance scheduled on August 1st.
At the end of May, arms merchants visiting Ottawa for the Canadian Association of Defense and Security, CANSEC, an industry trade show, were greeted by general chaos and war criminals welcoming walk, with a costumed commander and parading demonstrators from Homes Not Bombs, Ottawa Raging Grannies, Christian Peacemaker Teams, and Coalition to Oppose the Arms Trade, visiting several downtown hotels. At each hotel, people who have lived and worked in war zones spoke out about the impact of the international arms trade for people on the ground. They also worked diligently and ultimately successfully to persuade the boisterous general chaos to stop promoting war.
At approximately 6 a.m. on May 25, there was a faith-based action at Shannon Airport in response to Ireland's continuing support of U.S. wars conducted in the Middle East. Dave Donnellan and Colm Roddy entered the airfield and sprayed the main runway with red crosses to represent all the innocent blood spilled by these wars. They carried a banner reading U.S. military and CIA out of Shannon Airport and an Irish flag signifying the abuse of Irish sovereignty by U.S. military at Shannon Airport while crossing two runways and walking over half a mile. Before entering the airfield, they said some prayers for peace, for the victims of violence in the Middle East, and for the suffering of refugees fleeing these wars being actively facilitated by the Irish government. Two planes consecutively took off, but the men weren't detected until they reached a U.S. military Learjet located on the old runway 11. As they walked past the Irish Army patrol vehicle, they were spotted by the soldiers, who then alerted the guards sitting in the nearby Garda patrol car. The airport police were then called, and Donilon and Roddy were arrested. They were later transferred into two Garda patrol cars to Shannon Garda Station.
That's all, folks. That's the news, and we're out of here. Good night and good luck. And so it goes. That's the way it is. Stay on the same page. Step up to the plate. Good to go. Take it to the next level. At the end of the day, bring something to the table. Have a good day. It is what it is. It's time to wake up. Your toast is ready. The bus is here. The world is on fire.
Our next guest of the evening is Mickey Zezima. Mickey Z is a writer and activist in New York City, Queens, Astoria, New York City. We're lucky to have to be able to speak to Mickey every month, and Chuck does that interview every month, and he and Mickey have been doing this for many, many months as it goes, and Chuck will be getting that interview lined up right about now.
Well, here we are again with Mickey Z from Astoria, New York. Welcome to the show, Mickey.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be here, Chuck.
Well, what's the latest from the big city?
Well, we usually start with the weather report, so I'll tell you that we suddenly got summer over Memorial Day weekend. Even though it's not technically summer, we got the hot, muggy New York City weather, so the complaint level and agitation in the streets of New York is at the highest it's been since people were complaining about the winter. So, yeah, dealing with the warm weather. But otherwise, all is good.
Anything happening in the activism arena?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I hate to sound cynical, but kind of the same old stuff in the sense that since we last spoke, there was the annual march against Monsanto, which, of course, is theoretically a global event, happens in many cities across the globe. And in the past, I've been involved. In 2013, I did a teach-in, and the crowd we had, not specifically for my teach-in, but in general, the crowd was estimated to be something like 5,000. And if I remember correctly, in classic weather patterns, it was very cold and rainy for New York that weekend. And then the following year, I gave a talk. It was beautiful weather. We had a smaller crowd. And then by last year into this year, last year I actually declined an invitation, and this year I actually wasn't invited, partially because I somewhat stepped away from that arena because I feel like I've been there, done that. It really is preaching to the converted. It's exciting to stand up in front of a crowd and speak your mind, but I think there's a lot of voices that need to be heard that aren't being heard. And also, more importantly, there are people that we need to be reaching that we're not reaching. So probably the biggest event in New York since we last spoke was the March Against Monsanto. And it's not something that I go to. It kind of feels like the same people with the same signs doing the same thing. And I've been in a mode lately where I'm contemplating what else could we be doing, because I think it's safe to say that what falls under the realm of activism as a concept has not been working in the way that we need it to, because the problems that we're facing are getting worse.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
I know I could trust you to say that. What's interesting, for people who are listening and identify as an activist, is that when you move in activist circles long enough, you find that in many cases you'll encounter hive minds and marching in lockstep as much as you would in the mainstream, which activists like to deride and call the mainstream people sheeple and this and that. But when you move in activist circles, you will encounter some of that same mentality. So that little spiel I just gave to you, which you very generously said, oh, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, we need, that type of talk and writing and so on that I do has made people in the quote-unquote activist world very angry and sometimes vindictive towards me personally, as if like I'm lashing out at them or implying that people should just stay home or implying that I know what the right choice is. The only thing I'm doing as an observer, more so than an activist, because that word has become abused as to what considered, you know, a couple of clicks of likes on Facebook to me is an activism. So as an observer of what's going on in the world, I find that if you went to the doctor with a complaint that he suggested one type of modality or therapy and it didn't work, and you went back and he gave you the same one, and you went back and he gave you the same one, at some point you might say, you know, Doc, can we try something new? This isn't working. And nobody would consider you to be some type of that to be a betrayal or some kind of a confrontational attitude. You're just saying, hey, based on the evidence I have, we need to try something new. And that's sort of where my head is at in terms of standing up to the problems, the huge problems that we face. I appreciate talking to someone with an open mind, but I have to be blunt and say that there are many, many, many people who hear what I'm saying right now and respond with ugliness.
Well, let me go a little farther with your analogy. There might come a point if your doctor wasn't listening and changing the modality for treatment, you might decide it was time to find a new doctor. And
indeed,
that's kind of where I think you're telling me you are with activism, that you're looking for a new doctor that's willing to listen and find some new ways of acting because the old ones aren't working.
Let me roll with the same metaphor. I'll go with that. I'm encouraging people to not just look for a new doctor, but to, in fact, explore alternative, not literally alternative, but what passes for alternative medicine, but to seek other medical paradigms. And if they can't find them, create their own. Listen to voices that you haven't listened to. There are people out there that have all kinds of wisdom and information that we silence or marginalize. So maybe the answer isn't finding even... because if you go with the doctor metaphor, plenty of people have said it, that doctors, you know, we look at the person in the white coat as a god, and I think that that's a dangerous practice in any sense. Blind faith is dangerous in any sense. So to bring it back to activism, I think that we have to be careful in the age of social media that activism doesn't turn into just an expression of exhibitionism and ego, where results are measured by how many likes you get and how many followers and how many shares, as opposed to results being did we change conditions or at least create fertile ground for those conditions to be changed.
Well, I think you're exactly right there. And of course, you know, what today, you know, we count about likes and comments and all that sort of stuff. Some years back, we might have talked about how many people showed up at a rally. But even back then, what was really important was the result, was what got changed.
I agree. And you know, it's interesting you bring up that how many people showed up, because what I've noticed firsthand over the past, let's say, 5 years, is that because of the utter explosion of social media and technology like live streaming, people are far more likely to not show up. because they know that, A, they can watch it on a live stream from the comfort of their own home or anywhere with their cell phone, or B, there'll be high-quality photos blasted all over Facebook and Twitter and Instagram within minutes of a demonstration starting. And so if in the past there might have been an event, like I mentioned, Monsanto March got 5,000 just 3 years ago, and if you look at it now, they're lucky if they get 1,000. Well, those other 4,000 didn't necessarily suddenly not care about GMOs. They just have been, the way they express their dissent has been sort of commodified, where you don't even have to be at the event. You can go to the event page and write, click maybe, and say I'm with you in spirit, and then watch a little bit on live stream, share some of the photos later, and then feel like, hey, I did my part in fighting against GMOs. And that's not to say that there is no value at all in creating some awareness, but it definitely feels to me, I feel confident saying that we're not moving in a direction of making a lot of progress. So I'm kind of in a place where I'm trying to encourage people to look themselves in the eye and say, you know, what are the tactics that I use? Are they effective? If not, am I willing to consider other tactics or listen to other people, or even just as a starting point, just to admit, just to say these words, that my heart is in the right place, but I haven't chosen the best way to express it. So where can we go from here? And I think that type of honest humility is a very, very valuable characteristic in the realm of activism.
Well, I think you're 100% right. But the bottom line is that even showing up at the events, which, I mean, I think it's alarming that so many less people, I mean, you're talking about practically an order of magnitude less people showing up at events, and that's a problem. But even that isn't enough to create the real change. What can we do to really make a difference?
I think, to first, just to follow on what you said exactly, showing up at some point, the people in power almost appreciate these marches where some people show up and they scream and they yell and then they take pictures, and maybe even the news covers it, because what it does is it creates this illusion that we live in the land of the free and that dissent is welcome. Well, dissent is welcome if it doesn't threaten the status quo.
Exactly.
Sure, pay me $45 in New York City and we'll give you a permit to stand in front of a store to protest this, that, or the other, and then we'll put barricades around you and say, stay in this designated free speech zone, and after 2 hours when your permit runs out, we will very firmly say it's time to leave. And so people go home and say, I showed up, I was there, but as you said, does that qualify as contributing to change? So I think to me, I don't want to think that I have the prescription or the answer, so I'm going to keep it at the fundamentals. I think as humble of a suggestion, this is the first step for anyone who identifies as an activist is to seriously evaluate and reevaluate their perspectives, who they work with, who they're willing to work with, who they haven't worked with, what tactics they've used, what results they've gotten. Like, just take an inventory as to where they are relative to, say, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, and say, am I heading in a direction that is doing anything more than just getting me more followers on Facebook? And if they can honestly say, no, I'm more popular than ever on social media, but I haven't contributed to change, then I think this is what, when you have that jolting realization, is possibly where new ideas can grow from. So I don't even know what those new ideas would be, but I don't even think we're receptive to them as long as we see the status quo. We're taking up the status quo thing.
From Florida.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Is your data safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents, imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? Well, squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, some notes we have been receiving during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph. From Jerry, Jeff, and Luckenbach, we hear...
The majority of politicians, on the evidence available to us, are interested not in truth, but in power, and in the maintenance of that power. To maintain that power, it is essential that people remain in ignorance, that they live in ignorance of the truth, even the truth of their own lives. What surrounds us, therefore, is a vast tapestry of lies upon which we feed. As every single person here knows, the justification for the invasion of Iraq was that Saddam Hussein possessed a highly dangerous body of weapons of mass destruction, some of which could be fired in 45 minutes, bringing about appalling devastation. We were assured that was true. It was not true. We were told that Iraq had a relationship with Al-Qaeda and shared responsibility for the atrocity in New York of September 11, 2001. We were assured that this was true. It was not true. We were told that Iraq threatened the security of the world. We were assured it was true. It was not true. The truth is something entirely different. Everyone knows what happened to the Soviet Union and throughout Eastern Europe during the post-war period. The systematic brutality, the widespread atrocities, the ruthless suppression of independent thought. All this has been fully documented and verified. But my contention here is that the U.S. crimes in the same period have only been superficially recorded, let alone documented, let alone acknowledged, let alone recognized as crimes at all. I believe this must be addressed, and the truth has considerable bearing on where the world stands now. Although constrained to a certain extent by the existence of the Soviet Union, the United States' actions throughout the world made it clear it had concluded it had carte blanche to do what it liked. The United States supported and in many cases engendered every right-wing military dictatorship in the world after the end of the Second World War. I refer to Indonesia, Greece, Uruguay, Brazil, Paraguay, Haiti, Turkey, the Philippines, Guatemala, El Salvador, and of course, Chile. The horror the United States inflicted upon Chile in 1973 can never be purged and can never be forgiven. Hundreds of thousands of deaths took place throughout these countries. Did they take place? Are they in all cases attributable to U.S. foreign policy? The answer is yes. They did take place. They are attributable to American foreign policy. But you wouldn't know it. It never happened. Nothing ever happened. Even while it was happening, it wasn't happening. It didn't matter. It was of no interest. The crimes of the United States have been systematic, constant, vicious, remorseless. But very few people have actually talked about them. You have to hand it to America. It has exercised a quite clinical manipulation of power worldwide while masquerading as a force for universal good. It's a brilliant, even witty, highly successful act of hypnosis. I put to you that the United States is without doubt the greatest show on the road. Brutal, indifferent, scornful, and ruthless it may be, but it is also very clever. As a salesman, it is out on its own, and its most saleable commodity is self-love. It's a winner. Listen to all American presidents on television say the words, "the American people," as in the sentence, "I say to the American people, it is time to pray and defend the rights of the American people. And I ask the American people to trust their president in the action he's about to take on behalf of the American people." It's a scintillating stratagem. Language is actually employed to keep thought at bay. The words, "the American people," provide a truly voluptuous cushion of reassurance. You don't need to think, just lie back on the cushion. The cushion may be suffocating your intelligence and your critical faculties, but it's very comfortable.
Some notes we have been receiving during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph.
Well, it's been another long week in Moonrock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Dreamweaver buzzed in the dashboard. KSTP, Oklahoma City. Nothing around here except country and polka. AC tuned it a little. "Fly me high through the starry skies, maybe to an astral plane." Still buzzed. It's too early. Got to be dark at least. Best after midnight. Rick stuck his face even farther into my face. "Ooh, Clearasil. Look at that," I said, looking out my window, seeking a new smell. I downshifted and looked out in the stubble. A hawk stared at us, daring us to fight like the little boys from Littleton. Under one foot, a rabbit struggled with wide eyes. It stopped and asked us for help. "Stop! Stop!" Rick put a hand on my shoulder and one on the shotgun on the floor. I shrugged hard to get his hand off. I braked and then went. Crazy corner. His brother drowned yesterday. Just yesterday. And he's out road hunting and drinking. Tom Corner was out swimming in the new lake. Brand new lake they made. He was swimming around out toward the middle because he dived down and some seaweed chick grabbed his ankle. He couldn't get back up. Makes sense to me. I can see how it could happen. Whole town was out there watching the fire department in this rowboat. I guess the fire department rowboat. They gaffed Tom in the side, yanked him up into the boat with the coffee thermoses and extra rope. Blood spreading across the lake. Rick was there, standing right there with me and AC. Most of the other guys. "Kenny," says AC. "PTTPRO. Power to the people, right on." He hands me a fresh can of Schlitz, like some Zen bartender who just knew I needed one. He rolls down his window to toss two cans at a fence post, left-handed. First can hits the top of AC's window frame, shits all over the inside of my 57 Chevy. I swear, holler. AC apologizes. He dabbed with hunting jackets, gloves, stocking caps. He finally nails the fence post. He played baseball through Babe Ruth's league. I slide it up to second, ranging my hands to steer and drink. Put my arm in my window in a joy. Black and white, bench seats, radio works great. All the metal, thick, hard, quality. No rust. Everything original, well, except the tape deck, tires, gas. Classic, and I know it. I knew it the minute I climbed in after my dad brought it home for me. He found it by peeking in some old lady's locked garage. I tore the mud flaps off and those metal reflectors by the front windows. What are those for? Every shift, song, corner turned, a joy in this car. And what's great is that I understand it. Maybe my dad made me understand, but I think I came up with understanding on my own. The mark a great teacher leaves is no mark at all. They don't make cars like that now. Ever hear anyone mooning over their old Lumina or a Tercel or Accord? Guys have dreams about these old Chevys that they wish they had the sense back then to appreciate. Same as our first girlfriends. The Schlitz is not cold. Maybe cool if you squeeze tight. AC's got sore knees because he's got the cooler on his side. Rick's got the guns. We're all wearing red or blue flannel, and the brown canvas hunting jackets are now everywhere. It's hot. Well, not really. It was hot. We walked one field, and then we were thirsty. We started drinking. We were going to wait till it got really cold, almost too cold to touch the cans, but we didn't. We get up before dawn on a Saturday to go hunting. We put on coffee, even if we don't drink coffee, or maybe we're hungover. We put on all these clothes, these big hunting boots, and tennis shoes would probably be okay. And then the guns come up from the basement or out on the porch. Gives the whole thing gravitas. Well, it does. I think our dads think now we're getting down to something serious. We might amount to something. I don't know why they think that. The past few hours, we've just been driving around. We see a bird. We almost stop and jump out to shoot. For the past hour, it's just been Rick shooting out the back window. There aren't that many pheasants, or me and AC would be dead by now from having our eardrum blown out. Big hole in our head from that. Rick also shoots at squirrels, crows, stop signs. Poor guy, he just wants to kill something so bad. Can't blame him, but I'm sick of that gun going off in the car. My dad would kill me. It's loud. I speed up whenever there's anything running around. It like having a gun go off right by your ear. It's loud. I turn left to go to Broken Bridge. By now, it was getting almost dark. That's how I remember it. It's a gravel road. Most of the gravel pushed off toward the sides and a long hump, so you have to stay toward the middle, and it's kind of a narrow road anyway. Broken Bridge is one of the places we would go swimming. There's a beach, sort of. In some places, the water, it's called Spring Branch Creek or maybe North Fork. The water's deep in some places if you kneel down to piss. Most of the place where you can ask some girls if they want to go out to Broken Bridge or something. Party at Broken Bridge! Something like that. Might work. If it's night, maybe you can bring some beer. If it's a Sunday, it's pretty boring no matter what. There's rocks on the path and stickers too and glass, and most girls know that, so it's not a great place. The bridge back then was wooden, with high old iron arcing over the top. It creaked, and you could see the water through the cracks in the boards. There was barely room for two cars to pass. Graffiti decorated the flat iron. F this! F that! F him! F her! Way up on the flat angle iron, facing the southward traffic. Way up where someone would really have to want to get up there. And smeared thick red blood was a legend. A legend's an old story. Also an inscription, a motto, a title, a motto, a caption, or an explanation. It's all of that. They'd have to be shinning way up and along, hugging with both knees, not looking down. Maybe. Maybe they're the curious type. Carrying the bloody arm in their teeth. He grabs the iron with one hand and leans way over to smear the blood words with the arm paintbrush. There are stories about escaped lunatics. He takes it in one hand. He's writing upside down. All those people who write on bridges for cars to see are writing upside down. I'm not sure if people understand that. Perhaps it will just take time. They said the man who wrote on Broken Bridge was escaped from the state hospital on the other side of town. He would have strained with all his might and wrapped his legs tight. And if he was afraid of heights, that just goes to show how bad he wanted it. He wrote in big, thick, bloody letters. I actually visited the state hospital on a Catholic grade school tour. There were lots of people around in nurses' uniforms with droopy eyes and cigarette hanging on their lips. They had a farm where the inmates could milk. The milk barn was clean, smelled like fresh hay. I remember one guy in there. He was big. Big, really dark black hair. He picked me out of the group to come over and milk the cow. I didn't want to, but I did it. The girls and everyone else giggled when I grabbed the thing. If he was escaped and it was nighttime, how did he get out there? That's a lot of miles on foot. It's for a xenophobic, nosy town with nosy provincial police officers looking for him who haven't been to college or anywhere, just driving around. A lot of those type people aren't from around here. How would he know about Broken Bridge anyway? And to climb in the dark with a bloody arm in his teeth. He was really into it. All by himself. Crazy, lonely man in a strange land playing his crazy game with sirens in the distance. I always wonder if they know they're crazy. Like if a kid with Down syndrome knows what he's got. I'm fat. I live on 6th Street. I'm crazy. Or don't you know? He's up high on a jagged, rusty piece of iron. He hears the pitter-patter. He stops. Eyes wide, he looks down and gets a little dizzy. He grips tighter with his knees, his heart pounds. He bites down on the arm, takes the blood, feels the bone, swallows, lets it run down his chin. He sees a coyote running down the middle of the bridge. It trips along kind of sideways, tongue out, looking about 2 feet in front, passes under him without looking up. By the light of the orange full moon over the trees and the river and the retards, the wild man swung down, sweat stinging his eyes, and he wrote. With all his heart, his soul, he wrote. He felt those words, pulled them from the first memories of childhood to this very moment. Like Solzhenitsyn, Dickens, Steinbeck, Faulkner, Dostoevsky. He wrote behind enemy lines like King in the Birmingham jail on used toilet paper. He wrote, "Fuck you." That's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. There's no hidden black military budget, no UFO files Americans cannot see, no JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes, no destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police, no evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That is our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about the long 12-year war and debacle to trial and put on TV, right, like O.J., every afternoon, so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings, the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. Bush, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, they all know that. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's someone's spin on the day's news, someone's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire. There's the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He's complicit. He's lied. He's continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. He lied right to our faces on national television when he said Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden buried at sea, and Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there's a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. It went all the way into the hole, and no, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scatter or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government, like a horror movie. And the killers in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. That just about wraps up another episode of the New American Dream radio show. I'd like to remind you that we're streaming live 8 to 10 p.m. every Thursday night, that's Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And once again, it's listener supported radio. So head on over to freedomslips.com. And, well, if you make a donation, we hope you'll mention the New American Dream Radio Show. I'd like to thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thanks to our guests, Sherwood, Ava, Mickey, and Phil. Show, excuse me. Show archives are available at newdream.us. And we ask you to remember those in prison throughout the United States and Cuba, county jails, state prisons, federal prison, private prisons for profit, military gulags, never forget them, as well as those American political prisoners. For names and addresses, go online to nukeresister.org and Alliance for Global Justice. And as always, we apologize for our mistakes, and we are planning right now to make fewer mistakes next week. And so good night to my friends, Chuck on the Rain. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksprung. Good night, Muhammad Atta. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do, nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one.
People's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where